Agadadishanam, whose spiritual knowledge is deep. Advijam, the perfect Brahmana. Prasada yishe, I shall please. Nishataha, without duplicity. Shishna, with my head. Tat charanam, his lotus feet. Sprishan, touching. So translation, King Indra said, therefore with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brahaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, because he is in the mode of goodness. He is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him. So you can repeat. King Indra said, therefore with great frankness and without duplicity, I shall now bow my head at the lotus feet of Brahaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, because he is in the mode of goodness. He is fully aware of all knowledge and is the best of the brahmanas. Now I shall touch his lotus feet and offer my obeisances unto him to try to satisfy him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Coming to his senses, King Indra realized that he was not a very sincere disciple of his spiritual master, Brahaspati. Therefore, he decided that henceforward, he would be nishita, non-duplicitous. Nishita, shushna, tachchananam, nisprishan. He decided to touch his head to the feet of his spiritual master. From this example, we should learn this principle enunciated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Yasha prasadad bhagavat prasadu yasha prasadam nagati kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is benedicted by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. A disciple should never be a hypocrite or be unfaithful to his spiritual master. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, 17th chapter, text 27, the spiritual master is also called Acharya. Acharyaman Vijnaniyam. The spiritual master, the supreme personality of Godhead, says that one should respect the spiritual master, accepting him as the Lord himself. Navamanyeta kari chit. One should not disrespect the Acharya at any time. Namarcha buddhya suyeta. One should never think the Acharya an ordinary person. Familiarity sometimes breeds contempt, but one should be very careful in one's dealings with the Acharya. Agada dishanam dujam. The Acharya is a perfect Brahman and has unlimited intelligence in guiding the activities of the disciple, his disciple. Therefore, Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, in the 4th chapter, text 34, Tadvidi pranivatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatva darshanaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. One should fully surrender unto the spiritual master, and with service, sevya, one should approach him for further spiritual enlightenment. So, ataham amarhacharyam akadya tishanam dvijam vasada yashe nishata shirshna tat charan hang sprishan. So, Omagana Timidanda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So just to briefly recount this particular story, this is a story where Indra was sitting in the assembly house and he was surrounded by the other demigods and he had his wife there. And Brihaspati walked in. Brihaspati is his spiritual master, the spiritual master of all the demigods. And Indra didn't pay attention to him, didn't notice him. He was just so much absorbed in being praised by the other demigods, and so much absorbed in his relationship, I guess, with his wife or whatever. And Brihaspati, at that point, he thought, well, I have to leave here. So he left. So let's talk about Brihaspati's leaving in terms of a strategy, which is really interesting. As we mentioned previously, Brihaspati did not leave due to some material reason. A material reason means, basically, as we know from the primitive brain, fight or flight. When things get tough, then we want to run away, or we want to fight. Of course, there was one person who was making a joke. He said, well, I believe in that saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, because when the going gets tough, I'm going to get going and run away. But that's not what that saying means. The saying means, when the going gets tough, in other words, when things get difficult, those who are actually interested in spiritual advancement, they grit their teeth, clench their fists, and just continue serving Krishna. Of course, that's the statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tatena Kampam Sushamikshamana Bunjanavatma Kritam Vipagam Ridvag Bapurvir Vidanam Namaste Jiveta Yo Mukti Pade Sudayavak. And that's an interesting statement spoken by Lord Brahma. It says, one who tolerates things that are happening to him. And, of course, generally, we should say that those things that are happening to us that are unpleasant are due to our previous sinful activities in the material world, token reaction. Because what is a token reaction? A token reaction is a reduction directly administered by Krishna of your previous sinful reactions that you would have had to suffer, but he reduces them to a bare minimum. It's like one time Prabhupada was in a car and they had an accident and Prabhupada said we were supposed to die, but Krishna has reduced it. Of course, Prabhupada had no token reaction, no sinful reaction, because Prabhupada was sinless. Prabhupada is a Shakta Rasha avatar. However, that's what a token reaction is. So sometimes we see when someone joins the Krishna Conscious Movement, I get these notes sometimes, that they say, since I took initiation, my mind is going wild. Well, before I took initiation, I was much happier. Now that I took initiation, now there's all these disturbances. Prabhupada said that is like boiling the milk, boiling the butter to make ghee. So when you boil the butter to make ghee, the impurities rise to the surface, and that's naturally what happens when one first takes up Krishna consciousness. Of course, that may continue for the next 50 years too, but anyway. So, in any case, there's purification. Of course, it's not that we abuse someone, as we were talking about yesterday, and we say to that person, I'm just purifying you. That's another point. But a devotee who is subjected to different things and thinks that I'm getting purified, of course, we don't want to use that word purification for everything. I remember when I joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, then we would eat very hot and spicy food. And as a result, there were digestive problems. In other words, we had to spend a lot of time in the bathroom. And the devotees would say, you're getting purified. It's not that you're getting purified, it's just that you were eating things that didn't agree with the body. Or sometimes people go to India and then they get deli belly, as they said. And they have some digestive problems, which you can't mention in Bhagavatam class. And I'm really getting purified, Prabhu. Or sometimes devotees are in Vrindavan and they get hit by a cow and knocked into the air. Oh, I'm really getting purified. But usually you should just watch yourself, make sure there's no cow behind you. And usually you should be careful about what you eat. You can't just blame. Or you get in a car accident because you fell asleep. Oh, I really got purified. It's Krishna's mercy. You know, we take everything as Krishna's mercy, but it's not really like that. But in things that are out of our control, they do happen, and there are challenges. I mean, there's a myriad of challenges that occur in the course of our Krishna consciousness. So the natural material response is run away. You know, and I have to run away. I want to go to the Bahamas and spend some time on Paradise Island. Of course, Paradise Island, anyway. There's yoga studios there, and there's also gambling in Paradise Island. It's not really paradise. There's no paradise in this world. Prabhupada said that if there's any nice place in the world, it's Hawaii. But it's not really like that there. I mean, the weather's nice, but the other material miseries are actually much more pronounced in Hawaii. So anyway, so the point is that one just tolerates these things, doesn't run away, and doesn't fight. I mean, just like I got a message from, you know, fighting really doesn't accomplish anything. Usually I got a message from some devotee in New Zealand, and her husband had bought a sound system from someone, and the sound system didn't work, and the person didn't want to fix the sound system. So instead he just took a stone and threw it through the guy's window. And then he's facing a court charge right now. So the fighting doesn't usually work. And the running away doesn't usually work either. Because first of all, you run away. One thing that happens when you run away, you take your mind with you. And that's really what you're struggling with. It's the mind. So, you can't run away from your mind. I mean, unless you are stupid or something like that, you can't run away from your mind. So basically it's better just to stick it out, tough it out, and do your service. And that's what this verse states. Vidvag bhupuravir vidanam namaste jivetayo mukti pradesadayabhak. The one goes on offering his humble obeisance as service, to Krishna with his body, mind, and words. So anyway, getting back to the point is that Brihaspati was not under the jurisdiction of these material motives when he ran away. It was a strategy. These strategies have to be thought of very carefully and coolly, as we were mentioning yesterday, that strategies are not executed in the mode of passion. Like Indra here, he's in the mode, he's influenced to a certain extent by the mode of passion. So his whole idea, as we'll see later on in this chapter, of going and apologizing to his guru is because he's afraid he's going to lose his position. It's not out of bhakti. It's not that he's thinking, well, now I'm going to not become Krishna conscious. Now my guru, he's hurt. I don't want to hurt my guru. He's not thinking like that. He's thinking, you know, what am I going to do? You know, my kingdom is going to get taken away. As we'll see later, the demons are going to actually take over the heavenly planets. So I better go to Gurudev. Like most people, they go to Gurudev or a spiritual personality for material benedictions. I mean, you see this all the time. You know, we have people come to the temple to get their cars blessed. I mean, first time it happened, I got a little confused. Because I thought they were offering their car to Krishna in a real sense. You know, they brought this nice Mercedes to the car, to the temple. Beautiful new Mercedes. And they said, Maharaj, let's do a puja. I'm offering this to Krishna. And I thought, wonderful. Wonderful. You know, we have a Mercedes and I can drive around in style now. So then after we did the puja and everything, they said, okay, goodbye, Maharaj. And I said, what? I thought you were offering it to Krishna. No, we were offering it to Krishna so we can use it in our service, in Krishna's service, which is their service. Anyway, another time I was doing a fire sacrifice. This was in Mexico. I was doing a fire sacrifice and someone put some 4, 5, or 6 gold coins on the fire, right around the fire. And I was like, wow, I should do this all the time. And after I did the fire sacrifice, you know, for some reason it was a housewarming, I forget exactly why. Then I said, thank you very much for your donations to the Krishna Conscious Movement. They said, no, we were just purifying our gold. And they took it back. It's like King Riga, you know, but you... So, anyway, this is very interesting. So, So people do approach the guru, people do approach Krishna generally. I mean, even Krishna says that in the Gita, Chatur Vidha Bhajanti Mam. People approach him for wealth, or because they want, they're inquisitive and they're in distress, or they want knowledge. So this is just life. That's what you have to realize. When you're preaching in the Krishna conscious movement, people do have these motives. So Indra's motive here was not exactly pure. He said, boy, I better go to Gurudev right away, else I'm gonna, you know, all my position, you know, who knows, my beautiful wife may be taken away. You know, so many things I have, and oh my God, you know, he got nervous. So anyway, Brihaspati directly did that, and also he decided not to show up to hide for that particular purpose. Now that's a strategy that has been executed by many people. You know, running away and actually putting people in anxiety. Deliberately. Prabhupada did that. Once upon a time in the history of ISKCON, there were devotees who actually misunderstood the philosophy and actually were influenced, at different times it happened like that, influenced by Prabhupada's God brothers. One time there was this story that they didn't put, Prabhupada's name properly on one of the books. And they just put Bhaktivedanta Swami instead of, you know, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And they presented Prabhupada with the book, and to add insult to injury, when Prabhupada picked up the book, the binding fell apart. Not only did, you know, was the name improper, and Prabhupada got really angry, and he basically called for Tamal Krishnamars at that time. And he said, get me out of here, you know. This happened actually twice. Once when there were several sannyasis who were talking about Prabhupada being God. There were actually four of them that got into Mayavada philosophy. Anyway, and so then Prabhupada said, get me out of here, take me to India. So Prabhupada left the scene. He left the scene, and then devotees actually took things more seriously because of that. I mean, there were actually very good devotees who started preaching. There's one case in New Vrindavan. The devotees in New Vrindavan were very confused because they thought Prabhupada was God and he was displeased with them and God was leaving. Can you imagine Mayavada philosophy after Prabhupada had spoken so strongly about personalism versus impersonalism? And, you know, his Prabhupada's pranam mantra is Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschachate Ajatarni. He came to the Western world to get rid of impersonalism and voidism. The Western world was just filled with impersonalism and voidism. So, you know, imagine that. And so then the devotees began to speak more strongly. I mean, there was Rupa Nuga Prabhu speaking in New Vrindavan. And then devotees realized the mistake. So, but it was part of a strategy. Of course, Prabhupada felt very disturbed with the devotees too, but it was Prabhupada's strategy. The devotee doesn't act under the influence of passion, or they don't respect me anymore, I'm going somewhere else, nobody loves me. Isn't it? I mean, that's generally how we act in the conditioned state. Oh, this is too difficult. Oh, I gotta get away. Oh, goodbye, cruel world. That means something else. So, therefore, you know, the Prabhupada had that strategy. So it's this strategy of leaving the situation. Also, Krishna does that too, which is interesting. Not because he was displeased, but to bring the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan more into deep meditation on him. It's interesting. When someone leaves, then you actually start to, what do they say? Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So not only to rectify people, but to bring people closer. So, you know, Krishna at the very peak of his pastimes, you know, he was a fresh youth, 16 years old, and the gopis were in the prime of their youth. And this was actually the peak. It wasn't like, you know, like the beginning. It was like the peak of, you know, the quintessential, you know, goal and highest realization of Krishna's pastimes, and then he leaves at that point. It's amazing. I mean, it's not that Krishna waited until he'd been on the planet 80 years old, and then he left. But at the very peak of the intensity he leaves. And the reason he left was to bring the gopis closer to him. Because in the mood of Vipralamba, that one is involved in much more intense meditation upon the object of one's love. And you can also see that with his divine grace of the Prabhupada when he left this world. Of course, it really was a litmus test. Because that's an interesting type of metaphor. A litmus is something you put into a liquid usually to see if it's acid or base. So that means you test it. So that saying in English means that sometimes we're put to a litmus test. Not to see if we're acid or base, but to see what we're made of. This is continually being done in our own devotional service. So it was a litmus test when Prabhupada left the planet to see those who were actually devoted to Prabhupada. And as Prabhupada said in the fourth canto, part four, when the spiritual master leaves the planet, one should be either ready to leave the world with the spiritual master or to carry out the mission of the spiritual master. In other words, if one doesn't carry out the mission or isn't dedicated to the mission, then one should be ready to leave, like the chaste wife should be ready to leave when the husband leaves. Because nowadays the chaste wife throws the husband in the fire. That's a little bit different. We're talking about, you know, previous yuga when the wives were wives and husbands were husbands. So Prabhupada left, and we see, I mean, who was actually dedicated to Prabhupada and who was not dedicated to Prabhupada. And those who were dedicated to Prabhupada, they got special mercy. Because Prabhupada said those who take up the mission of the spiritual master, then the super soul appears before them. This is from the fourth canto, part four. I'm paraphrasing. These are not the exact words. But the super soul appears before them, and because of that mood of intense separation. Like Prabhupada was always worshiping his spiritual master in the mood of separation. Even Prabhupada was asked one time, do you ever feel separation from your spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, that question you do not need to ask. So the answer that Prabhupada gave indicated that it was so intense and so deep and so personal that it's not something you talk about. Because actually one of the injunctions is you don't really reveal your Ishta Deva. It says you don't reveal your beads or your Ishta Deva. I mean, there's injunctions like that. In other words, like if you have some really intense, let's say you're completely Krishna conscious and you're a gopi or something like that. And you're really intense worshiping Krishna. It's not that you sit down in class and say, well, my dear Prabhus, last night I was meditating on my Siddha Deha and I entered into the Vrindavan forest to retrieve Radharani's anklet, which she had dropped. And this lasted for about half the night, so I couldn't sleep that much last night. You know, it's not that you do stuff like that. But we understand from Prabhupada's response that Prabhupada's mood was very intense, feeling the separation from his spiritual master. So, in other words, even when the spiritual master leaves the planet, it's a whole pastime. It's not that the spiritual master leaves for some material reason, like Rahashpati didn't leave for some material reason. Prabhupada didn't leave for some material reason just because, you know, he's getting old or sick or didn't follow the right diet or didn't exercise enough. Prabhupada left, first of all, to draw us closer to him in the final pastimes. When Prabhupada actually wanted all the devotees to be with him at the final days. And that message was not conveyed, I mean, painfully. It was not conveyed to all the devotees. The devotees were told, you know, Prabhupada just wants certain people with him. But actually Prabhupada wanted all the devotees to experience that mood of him leaving the world and serving him in a very intimate way so that this would actually fix in their minds their dedication to Prabhupada later on. Because when the spiritual master leaves, one is dedicated to the vani or the instructions of the guru. So it's actually an intense experience, the leaving of the guru, that fixes one's mind, and so one's whole life is dedicated to the guru's instructions later on. That's why we have devotees read about Prabhupada's pastimes, because Prabhupada's pastimes, I'm reading right now every day, the Prabhupada Lila Amrita a little bit before I go to bed at night. And it's very inspiring. Very inspiring. And it fixes, it's not just a story, it actually fixes my determination to serve Prabhupada right now. And instills in my heart a mood of separation from Prabhupada. You know, actually when I read these pastimes, and I read about Prabhupada, you know, coming to America, I think, why wasn't I there? Or even when he was in India, you know, wow, I wish I was there. You know, so that whole mood of I wish I was there, but I wasn't there is actually a type of separation. Isn't it when you read about Prabhupada, even in Jhansi, struggling in Jhansi, or, you know, getting gored by a bull in Delhi, or distributing his back to Godheads, or whatever. I mean, you just like feel that you wish you were there. And that creates more of a mood of separation. So that mood of separation is actually very important in fixing us on the order of the spiritual master. So the point I'm making is whenever a Vaishnava leaves, goes away, leaves his body, it's always for a higher purpose. I mean, there's many purposes. I mean, of course, Prabhupada also leaving means he was going somewhere else to carry out the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But for us, from our particular perspective, it's his leaving was to mature. You know, sometimes like that, put us in a more mature platform, just like sometimes mother bird kicks the baby bird out of the nest. You know, here, you got to stand on your own 2 feet. Like Prabhupada said, when you leave this world, you have to fly solo. You know, flying solo, like I've had flying lessons before, so I know. So first you fly dual. You know, in the beginning when you're getting trained up how to fly a plane, there's two steering wheels. Also a car, there used to be two steering wheels. Now they don't do that anymore. There's just an extra brake here, hopefully. When I took driving lessons, there were two steering wheels and two brakes. I don't think there were two accelerators. There was only two brakes. So when you first take up a Krishna consciousness, it's like that. But then, or you learn to fly, it's like that. But then, you have to fly solo. Prabhupada said at the time of death is, you know, your senses get cut off. So no matter who is surrounding you, you're on your own. You have to, I mean, Krishna is there, obviously. And Prabhupada's there to help you, but you have to take the endeavor to remember them. It's not that Prabhupada's going to say, wake up, wake up. You have to take the endeavor to remember Prabhupada and remember Krishna. And then they'll help you. So anyway, so that's the point. It's a training, somehow or other, when the spiritual master leaves, to actually take Krishna consciousness much more seriously and be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So anyway, so these are different reasons why great personalities, that's the whole point of this class, why great personalities may leave. It's for our benefit. Just to sum it up, it's not for their own, because of their own frustration with dealing with us. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did leave, it says, because he was frustrated with his disciples. But that was also to teach his disciples, not simply some material frustration like that. So that's really important to understand. Not that he was just thinking, oh, I'm disgusted with these guys. But he was thinking, you know, now it's time to leave to see who would litmus test is the real disciple. And Srila Prabhupada, of course, passed that test to the highest degree. And he showed he was a real disciple. He got the final instruction from his spiritual master. You know, you should preach in English. That will be good for you and good for those who hear you. That was the final instruction. He meditated on it in the mood of separation. And because of that, because he was the one who meditated like that, rather than, I mean, I can't say no one else did, but to the highest degree that he actually carried out that order, we have a Krishna consciousness movement today. So, anyway, so these are some of the points. Papa Hushpati and the mood of separation and what we should do when the going gets tough. I mean, so many different lessons. So any questions or comments about any of these things? Yeah.
I was talking about one not being duplicious in relationship with the spiritual master. And often sometimes we find that one is afraid to
One has to reveal the mind at the right time. Or sometimes the spiritual master. I mean, this is just like for the example in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Raghunath Das Goswami, he would reveal his mind to Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whenever Raghunath Das Goswami would ask him, would ask a question, he would ask it through Swarup Damodar Goswami. So it was the one has to find out what the spiritual master wants as far as revealing the mind. Anyway. And we can reveal our mind to the deities. I remember when I first walked into a Krishna conscious temple, one of the ceremonies they had every week was the devotees would go before Radha and Krishna and they would actually reveal their mind. I mean, it's actually, there was a kirtan going on and one by one the devotees would go before the deities. It was quite an interesting ceremony. I've never seen it since. It was in Boston, Massachusetts. The devotees would actually go in front of the deities and actually say what they did, and they wouldn't say, it was actually very soft, it wasn't saying in front of everybody else. It was simply a personal exchange with the deities. That, you know, what am I going to do the next week? What problems do I have? Revealing the mind and confidence like that. Of course, revealing the mind and confidence is an extremely important aspect of Krishna consciousness, according to Srila Rupa Goswami. Guyamakyati Prichati. But one has to reveal the mind and confidence to those who are confidential, to those who are empathic. So you have to search out the right situation. It may not always be with one's initiating spiritual master, but at least, you know, some great advanced devotee we can reveal our mind to is not simply going to be judgmental. Like I said yesterday, sometimes you may say, can I reveal your mind to you? What do you have in your mind? It's simply garbage is the response. You know, that we don't want to be subjected to that particular situation. We want to have someone sit down. We all need that sort of relationship. And hear and listen, not just pass judgment. Oh, I could see you're in Maya. You know, you got a lousy mind. No, we want someone who's more empathic. And so that's what it means to reveal the mind and hear from others and give people advice in Krishna consciousness. All right. On that happy note, time to travel. Anyway.